now to talk about quarterbacks who will be playing college football
next season.
I'm very excited to do that. There are a couple things that I need to think out loud about, okay?
Okay.
I tweeted about this yesterday. I was looking at Josh Pate, who is now of ESPN, who put his preseason SEC quarterback rankings out there. Now, this was tweeted at 9:20 p.m. on Wednesday night. Okay? And for the most part, I'm not sure I demonstrably disagree with his rankings, with one, you know, somewhat notable exception. Here is the ranking. This is a top 10, okay? Top 10 Josh Pate SEC quarterback rankings, okay? Number one, Trinidad Chambliss. I'm okay with Trinidad Chambliss being in that, okay? Number two, Arch Manning. Number three, John Mateer. Number four, Gunnar Stockton. Number five, Sam Leavitt. Number six, Alabama QB. No names. Number seven, Lenoris Sellers. Number eight, Marcel Reed. Number nine, Byron Brown. Number 10, Austin Simmons. The hang-up for me is at six. Alabama quarterback. And the reason is simply this. You're telling me that it doesn't matter whether it's Austin Mack or Keelan Russell? We don't know who the quarterback is. There's still an ongoing battle there. Not really tipping their hand very much about that quarterback battle at Alabama. That guy, these guys who haven't played college football really, we know that both of them, whichever one they pick, is better than Lenoris Sellers?
I saw this same tweet that you're talking about, you're referencing to. I saw this yesterday as well. And I found that very, very intriguing, very interesting. So in my head, me personally, I thought, so we're going to give. We don't even know who the Alabama quarterback is. And we're automatically going to rank him that high?
Now, I like both these guys. They're both highly recruited guys. They're highly skilled guys. Mack and Russell. They are very good players. Okay? Both of them. Really good players. Mack has been with Kalen DeBoer since Washington. Russell, five-star guy. Really, really talented. Incredibly skilled. But I'm looking at this list going, all right, Lenoris Sellers, in my opinion, is too low anyway. All right, and there are people that will disagree with me. I think Lenoris Sellers is too low anyway. We could talk about maybe what peer group I would have him in the SEC. But I think it's disrespectful that we're putting him behind ideas. Remember what I say all the time. When we're talking about prospects at the trade deadline, when we're talking about backups that don't play, the idea of a player is almost always better than a player. Because players have flaws. Ideas are inherently not flawed. If you believe in the prospect of a player, or you believe in the potential of a player, then that's the reason to play them. The more you see a player, the more that star diminishes because you see the warts. Even the things you like, you start noticing, but just by default, you start noticing the things that are wrong with the player, the things they don't do as well, the things that when they don't process as well or they don't physically do certain things, those are flaws that are exposed as you play. So ideas are better than players. But I'm more thinking, if you're behind two guys that haven't really played college football, that are in the Alabama offense, which I got to be honest, I don't feel like they've got skill around them that's great. I don't love the Alabama skill. We're just giving Kalen DeBoer an automatic quarterback bump like that? I'm not sure. if you're asking me, which this is, you could do whatever you want with these rankings. We don't know what this ranking is. We don't know what he, I didn't listen to him explain these, so I don't know what his rationale was. I don't know what his rubric was. I don't know. I need more context on this. But if you're asking me, are there six quarterbacks in the SEC, if I were a defensive coordinator, are there six quarterbacks in the SEC that I would like to face less as a defensive coordinator than Lenore Sellers? I would say no, I would not. Some of that is a Clemson thing, but some of it is that this is a guy who is singularly able to beat you by himself. He doesn't need help. This may be crazy. People may disagree with me on this. That's fine. I would rather face Lenore Sellers than John Mateer. What is Mateer that Sellers is? I think Sellers is more accurate than Mateer is. I think Sellers throws a better ball than Mateer does.
I can stand behind that.
Like, what's different about that?
I could definitely stand behind that.
I'm giving John Mateer credit for his defense he plays in and the fact that he played a year at Washington State against lesser competition? No. I'd rather face John Mateer than Sellers. I'd rather face Gunners just on a you know, neutral field with my team, whatever my team is, facing your team, whatever your team is. I'd rather face Gunner Stockton than Sellers. Now, you can't decouple Stockton from his system. I think Stockton, I talked about it yesterday, Ben and I had the full conversation about Georgia. I think Gunner Stockton is perfect at Georgia. He's a perfect fit for what Georgia does. And you look at him statistically, he does everything that you want a Georgia quarterback to do. Everything. You're telling me Sam Levitt? Like, are we allowed to factor in Sam Levitt's 2025 season? Or am I just supposed to remember the guy from the back end of the 2024 season? Sam Levitt's coming off an injury? I'd rather face that Sam Levitt? I'm going to tell you this right now. You're telling me I'm going up against Sam Levitt in game one. If I was going up against Lenore Sellers game one, I'd be more worried. Just a general, you know, if like put Lenore Sellers in at LSU and put Sam Levitt at South Carolina, I'd be more worried about LSU with Sellers at quarterback than I am with Levitt. I think it's disrespectful. It really is disrespectful to Lenore Sellers to, on the one hand, talk about incompetent coordinator, which is true, offensive line play, which is true, all this stuff, and then put the idea of the Alabama quarterback ahead of them. That's crazy to me. Listen, this is one of my spicy takes. I like Texas A&M. I don't love Marcel Reed. I think Marcel Reed was kind of exposed at points last year. And Marcel Reed did have very good offensive line play and did have first-round NFL talent playing with him and did have a great defense and does have a great coach and plays in 110,000-seat stadium. I mean, and did play an easy schedule. I'm not in love with Marcel Reed. Byron Brown at Auburn. You mean you're telling me, and this is what it looks like he did. It looks like he put the dual threat guys all in one group. That's what it looks like he did. He used the Alabama quarterbacks to bridge the gap from, like, his favorite quarterbacks and then the dual threat boys with Sellers and Reed and Byron Brown and Austin Simmons. And I just think that's disrespectful to Sellers. I know that Sellers has left some meat on the bone, but haven't we blamed all the other factors in the offense for the fact that Sellers has left meat on the bone? Like, maybe people did look at Sellers. To me, I'm looking at Sellers like if his receivers could catch routinely, he'd be a better quarterback. If his line could protect it all, he'd be a better quarterback. He's not without blame in these things. But you see individual talent. I just think it's disrespectful to put Sellers behind two Alabama quarterbacks that haven't played, that are in a system where the players around them are not considered to be first-round type talents.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're basically saying you would be more scared to play a player that's established rather than a player or players that haven't been established in their offense.
That's right. I think it's disrespectful to put Sellers with Reed, who I think benefited from scheme and defense.
Okay.
Brown, who was at South Florida and now is taking a step up. And Simmons, who's a good player, but got replaced at Ole Miss last year. He got Wally tipped. I think it's disrespectful to Sellers. Maybe that makes me weird. Oh, Walt was going to get in on that and then hung up. Oh, man. What did I say? Did I make Walt mad? He hung up? He'll get back in on this. Text from the 843 makes a good point. For reference, here is Pate's 2025 list. DJ Lagway, Arch Manning, Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, John Mateer, Austin Simmons, Jackson Arnold, Talon Green, Marcel Reed, Diego Pavia. So maybe I shouldn't put any stock in this list at all.
Yeah, it sounds like you shouldn't put any at all.
That's atrocious. Texter from the 864 says, that list just illustrates that South Carolina is a second-rate citizen in their own conference. LOL. I love it. I mean, maybe so. That's the thing. I don't think Lenore Sellers is a second-class quarterback. I mean, let me do some numbers on this. Because, and I'm not even going to use the QBR number that factors in rushing. I'm going to use just passing numbers, all right? Last year, Lenore Sellers, in terms of touchdown interceptions, all that stuff, he was beneath other guys. But again, he took a jillion sacks. The guys on the list, Trinidad Chambliss, better quarterback than Lenore Sellers. Marcel Reed, statistically, better quarterback, but also threw 12 picks. Made some plays, threw 12 picks. In conference play, this is what I really want to get at. Marcel Reed threw 9 interceptions in conference play. Lenore Sellers only had 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He was not as good passing the ball in conference play. He also didn't throw it at all. They didn't even ask him to throw it. He threw it 193 times. That's 13th most in the SEC, in SEC play. Blake Shapen played in one fewer game at Mississippi State and threw it 203 times. They just didn't ask Sellers to throw the ball all that much. But Sellers had a fine season. It was probably his worst conference season yet. But you're telling me that Sam Levitt, after the injury and all that stuff, is going to walk in LSU? I would be more afraid to face Lenore Sellers in week one than to face Sam Levitt.
I will say that I'm kind of intrigued, and I'm kind of anxious to see how Sam Levitt actually does at LSU as well. But I could definitely get behind your take, having somebody established such as Lenore Sellers that can beat you with his legs, and he could also beat you with his arms, and he's proven himself time and time again making big plays and making play after play. Truthfully, he can be higher, but I do think it's disrespectful that they would put an Alabama quarterback that higher than him right now.
I think if you're higher on Sellers this year, you're thinking that Briles is going to put him in an offense where he's not taking forever to set up to throw the ball, where the ball's getting out quicker, where they're getting it to the outside, they're using speed. They're probably going to do a little more RPO, like maybe triple option type stuff, like an Oregon-type offense with the RPO where he's got the opportunity to give it or throw it or just tuck it and run.
Well, you also have to factor in the O-line as well. If the O-line isn't protecting him, I mean, at that point, he's in high water at that point.
Texter says, kind of a hot take, but I think Sellers will stay and play the 27 season because of his brother. You know, I could see that. If you think there's a first-round quarterback in there, I don't think we're going to see that this year. I don't think we're going to see first-round quarterback this year. But I could potentially see Sellers take advantage of a fifth year, depending on what South Carolina pays him. And, like, what happens with Beamer there, if he likes the system he's in, that kind of stuff. You could see him being a guy that potentially takes advantage of 5-for-5. I'm not taking that off the table. I don't think that's the plan, but I'm not taking it off the table.
If he has I feel like this is kind of hard because the numbers last season didn't look all too great. But at the same time, if he has a good year, then he'd be more inclined to go to the draft. I could possibly see maybe another year if he's able to.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of this discussion on Sellers and this SEC quarterback list right after this.
The countdown is on. Is on. 23 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles. Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Moving the sack metric, okay? to just try to figure out what did you do with the ball in your hands? Throwing it, running it, okay? Now, would it surprise you to know that Lenora Sellers was sixth out of the six returning starters at quarterback in the SEC in total QBR last year? Would that surprise you at all, Keanu, to know that?
That doesn't surprise me.
Okay. It's interesting then to see, like, who got sacked a bunch. Like, Ty Simpson did a really good job at everything, but he got sacked a bunch. Which, that's on Alabama's offensive line, and maybe did lack of mobility, got hurt later in the year, that kind of stuff. I'm looking at these numbers, and again, you take out the sack stuff. Gunnar Stockton is actually number one in QBR, if you remove the sack part of the number here, okay? Gunnar Stockton, slight lean to Stockton over Trinidad Chambliss when you take out the sacks. That was a little surprising to me.
Okay, that is surprising to me.
Okay.
I will say that.
Marcel Reed, number three. 86.8. He's a step below that. Arch Manning, 82.7. Also below that. Now, some people don't believe in QBR, but I think it is the best way that we have, not without its flaws, but it is the best way that we have to measure the proficiency of a running quarterback. John Mateer is five. At 78.1. And I'm on purpose not plotting Lenora Sellers yet because I want to really appropriately state how much damage the sack yardage and the sack frequency did to Sellers' reputation last year. Okay? If we believe the QBR is a really good metric for measuring quarterbacks, particularly measuring quarterbacks with mobility, Lenora Sellers' QBR, if you take out the sacks from last year, was a staggering... Let me do this. His number was 61.5. Again, Diego Pavio's first, 87.7. Last in the SEC, Blake Shapen, 56.3. He was 61.5. Again, this is all kinds of stuff. Passing and running and all this stuff. Penalties. Avoiding sacks is part of it. Lenora Sellers' number, if you take the sacks away, is 89.3, which would have been third on that list. It would be ahead of Reed. It would be ahead of Manning. It would be ahead of Mateer, and it would be behind only Stockton and Chambliss. In fact, if you look at it, it would be ahead of all the quarterbacks except for Pavia, Chambliss, Stockton, and Talen Green last year. Talen Green was unbelievable except for sacks. Kind of an unknown deal, but Green was a monster in that Arkansas offense. That's the thing you could take to the bank from this. That, like, Talen Green, probably you didn't give enough respect to Talen Green. Ty Simpson would have been ahead of him because of his high sack number. Joey Aguilar would have been slightly ahead of him. But that's Sellers. If you my point is this. If we're going to give Lenora Sellers, if we're going to ding him for taking sacks, but we understand the O-line and the run game and the receivers dropping the ball and all these, the scheme, if they might all improve, then Sellers is going to be a top 3 to 4 quarterback in this league. So why would you put him behind an Alabama quarterback that we can't name? Why would you do that? That's my argument about Sellers, that I believe it's disrespectful to say, I don't know who wins this Alabama job, but I know for a fact he's better than Sellers.
I would say you got very analytical and very statistical with that.
I did. It was very nerd alert. If you want to put us in a nerd alert, you have the option to do that at the bottom of the screen there. You can freely put us in a nerd alert if you feel that it's noteworthy to you. Maybe not. Maybe you don't think so.
I would have to find it on the screen
first. Okay.
There's so many buttons up
there.
There's a lot of buttons.
Texter says this. Beamer gets fired this year. Beamer comes to Clemson. Sellers transfers with him. Absolutely not. That ain't happening. If Sellers isn't at South Carolina, I think Sellers is in the NFL next year. I don't think Sellers is leaving. I think people have really underscored how, you know, we talked about the Jaden Daniels example. I think there's a real sense of gratitude. A real sense of gratitude from Lenora Sellers to South Carolina for offering late, for being close to home, I think there are lots of national folks who really understate that element of this. You want to put us in a nerd alert, don't you?
Oh,
I can see it.
Oh,
I can see it on your
face.
It
took me a while to find it, but hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Nerd alert!
Whoa, wait a second, Doc. You mean to tell me that this is a nerd alert?
That's right, Marty. We've entered a nerd alert.
I'm proud of you. Because, when you're finagling the QBR like I just did, it's gotta trigger nerd alert.
Well, the fact that he was so low, but then you take away sacks and it puts him so high is just mesmerizing.
Oh yeah, I mean until I did it, I was thinking it was going to help a little. I didn't realize it was going to jump him. I didn't realize it was going to jump him that far. Be that as it may, I mean I'm. Again, you saw the numbers or the names on this list. I think I'm comfortable. We'll get some feedback on this. 654 Roar if you want to get in. We got a couple on hold that we'll get to here in a second. You heard the names, okay? You heard the names there on that list. The quarterbacks that I'm comfortable putting ahead of Sellers in the SEC. The tier that I don't think he's in is the Chambliss tier, the Manning tier, the Stockton tier. I think those three are in a class by themselves. I don't even think Mateer is in there. I actually think Mateer, Levitt, Sellers is a good second tier. And you know what? I could put Reed, Brown, and Simmons in a larger second tier like that. Mateer is a reckless player. And again, he gets the job done, but I don't watch him and think, beautiful. That's beautiful. I watch him and think, he's workmanlike. He's a tough old cookie. Again, he gets the job done. Like, I'm not watching Mateer going, my God, what a thrower of the football. I'm not even watching him run going, oh my. It's not like watching Lamar or Johnny Manziel or somebody like that. He's a good player. He gets the job done. He's a winning player.
Well, you also compare him to very high caliber players as well.
Yes, for sure. So I would put Mateer in this camp with Sellers. I don't understand putting Mateer at three. In no way do I get that. The guy gets hurt constantly. He's a reckless player. He's reckless. He's a winner, but he's reckless. If you're not factoring in to your Oklahoma projections this year, what if Mateer gets hurt? What happens if Mateer gets hurt? Then, in my opinion, you're doing it wrong. You have to at least consider that it might cost him a game or two games at some point in the season when he's not there. Because there's nothing about the way John Mateer plays. There's nothing about how they're going to have to use him that makes me think that he's not going to stick his nose where it doesn't belong a time or two. That's the way I see it. I feel more comfortable with Sellers getting to the end of the year, running the ball like he does and getting abused the way he has, than Mateer, who has considered himself a bit of an injury risk. A text from the 864 says, didn't you just get through saying you're less fearful of Stockton than Sellers? Yes, I did. But I said Stockton in the system of Georgia is a perfect fit. So if I'm talking about a power ranking of quarterbacks, you can't just decouple them from the system that they're in. You can't just decouple quarterbacks from the systems that they're in. So, yeah, I realize it seems like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Really, I'm measuring two different things. As an individual player, if it's just my team, whatever I've got, against your team, whatever you've got, I'd rather go against Stockton than Sellers. But I have to play Stockton on Georgia, and I have to rank Stockton on Georgia. I'm ranking Sellers on South Carolina. You factor in the talent they have, certainly. My thing was, I think he's too good of a player, even though his system stinks, or did stink last year, he's too good of a player to be seven. And if I were just picking, you know, put him on any team in America, I would have Sellers at like three or four on this list. Because I'm more afraid of Sellers than Levitt. I'm more afraid of Sellers than Stockton. I'm more afraid of Sellers than a bunch of these guys. I'm more afraid, certainly, than either of the Alabama quarterbacks. But again, you can't ignore the context there completely. Let's go to Butch, who's up with us next. here in the third hour of the show. 654 Roars, the number on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Hey, Butch.
Hey, man, how you doing today?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, man, I'm on the right side of the dirt. I'm blessed. You know it.
Amen.
But, hey, I appreciate you doing that nerding out, man. I mean, you've actually given me hope for my team, brother. You know what I mean? You pull out them numbers like that, and I don't feel so bad.
It may be a bit of a dangerous game we're playing today with that, Butch. If I've given you too much hope, that's I apologize.
Well, no. I know it still depends on the O-line. And I'm grateful that Beamer went out and got 8. I wished he'd have got 10, but he got 8. We got a little depth. You got the knothead. They should have a lemon law. And that dude that we got from North Carolina State, they ain't saying, you know, good things. But they are saying good things about his backup. Like, there's, I think, 2 linemen that are going for that spot. One will be a starter and one will be a backup if he doesn't come back. And then who is it? Josiah Thompson?
Josiah Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, he's out for a year. He's done. To my knowledge.
See, and that's part of it. Like, and that's why I say you can't take context out of it. I said the offensive line is dreadful. The scheme's dreadful. I can't imagine that Briles is just going to let him be a sitting duck in the pocket on slow-developing pass plays all year long.
No.
But he also can't just duct tape and super glue an exterior offensive line without Peak and, you know, somebody stepping up to replace Thompson that's halfway decent. That there's going to be some collateral there, and he's going to have to move Sellers, and Sellers going to have to take a little bit more responsibility to make sure that he gets the ball out.
Yes, sir. You're 100% correct. And I think our running back room is pretty solid, and that, again, all hinges on if the O-line can open up a little pocket for either Sellers or the run back to get. I mean, man, I'm not asking, you know, breakout 70, 60-yard runs. Hey, give me 5. Give me an average of 3 per carry, you know?
I'm with you, Butch. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
100%. Look, I don't think what Butch is asking for is unreasonable from Sellers or from South Carolina's offense. Texter asks this. We'll go to break. We'll get Seminole Ted on the other side. Texter asks, would you like to have Sellers? Yeah. I'd take Sellers on Clemson 10 times out of 10 over anybody they have at camp right now. 100%. Almost said something crazy. You know what?
No, go ahead and say it. You might as well.
If Chad Morris had Lenore Sellers this year, I think Clemson wins 10 games. I think he's worth 1 to 2 wins easily over the Zena / Reynolds because of individual talent. Well, maybe talk about that on the other side. I just think so. I think that's true. Short break. We'll get to Ted's phone call. Final segment of the program's next.
The Roars 2026 College Football Kickoff Show will be live from Southern Weaving Food Hall in Easley, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Come out and meet all your favorite hosts and producers as they break down everything you need to know. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one.
The playbook, so to speak, and get a little more out of everything there. And Sellers has got natural talent. Heck, I'd take him at Florida State in a heartbeat. He'd be better than the tomato cans we got, as Walt would like to say. But no, I want to talk about Florida State a little bit. The Hives injury was not good. We definitely did not need that happening. But, I mean, that's football. It happens. We lost him for the year. I still think that we are going to be able to put up points as an offense. It's just the question is going to be, who are we going to be able to stop on defense? I like a lot of what I'm seeing there, and what I'm hearing out of some of the stuff from training camp is, you know, they got some defense talking about head hunting again. You know, you want to get physical, go murder somebody on the field, talk like that, you know. And if they've got the players that can back that up in the linebacking group, I'm excited. I want to see them stop some people because we got gashed by the run last year. And our schedule doesn't shape up in a fair way either, or in an easy way. I think that we split between SMU and Alabama But I don't see higher than 8-4 for us this year, Clark. And I think that our ceiling could be 4-8 or 5-7, or our floor could be 4-8 and 5-7. You know, it's just going to depend on momentum. We got to start strong. You know, we get the cupcake week zero game, and then after that, it's into the fire, you know. So I'm not too high expectations, because I know that it's not going to be – we're not, you know, winning the ACC this season. You know, it's a hard spot to be in as a diehard fan, knowing that your team might compete and is going to look better than last year, but it's really a lost cause already. Is that a horrible place to be at?
I mean, kind of. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to reassure you and pat you on the back and tell you it's going to be okay. But yeah, you're pretty much in the worst possible place. Here's one thing that I like, and you mentioned camp for Florida State. The one thing that I like is the returns on the defense are good, and you know, because I think the offense is going to go. I think when you have that backfield and those receivers, particularly the 1-2 punch on the outside. Daniels is – I'm not as high – like, Faxon loves Daniels. I'm not as high on Daniels. I'm more in the camp of let's prove it. But he should be better by default as a thrower than what you had last year. Should be able to better activate those weapons than what you did last year. And if the defense is improved, then, like, I'm not taking the SMU win off the table with a week to sort of tune up with New Mexico State. I'm not taking a win over Virginia off the table. I'm not taking a win at Louisville off the table. I'm not taking any of the home games off the table. So while I would agree, I'm probably thinking a 5-7 win mark is about where you're going to be. I'm not taking 9 off the table with this team. Now, the one question is going to be, when are they going to quit on Mike Norvell? Or are they going to try to? Or is it going to be all positive vibes for a while, long enough to pile up some wins early in the schedule? That is my main concern.
No, that's fair. And I think the key with Ashton Daniels is don't expect him to go out there and play hero ball like Tommy Turnovers. You know, just manage right. The game. Put the butt. Give Cromaw the rock 20 times a game. You know, put it in the back's hands 25 to 30. The running backs, give them the ball 25 to 30 times a game. Give them enough space. And I think they're gonna eat up clock. They're gonna be able to put some points up. You got Deuce Robinson, you got Danzy. I mean, you got some good kids there. So I like I said, I'm excited about the offense. I just don't know where we're gonna end up with the defense. But appreciate you letting me get in. Have a good one.
Thanks very much, Ted. Appreciate the phone call. Totally agree with that. You know, Hank makes a good point on Sellers. Hank says this. Couldn't agree more. Chad Morris has proven he knows how to work with a fairly accurate quarterback who's also big, knows how to run, and can be brought down easily. Totally agree. I was telling you during the break, I mean, you look at Clemson's schedule. I'm not sure it changes the LSU or the Miami game. I'm not sure it does. But, I mean, I said, you know, I'd rather have Sam Levitt than the Vezina-Reynolds combination. I'm not sure I'd rather have Sam Levitt than Lenore Sellers. So I think that changes the quarterback math of that game, doesn't it?
I would say so.
Now, I don't think Clemson's winning, but I think it gives you a better chance on paper
if
you've got
Sellers. Definitely gives you a better chance of winning, 1,000%.
I'd still rather have Mensa in the Miami game, and Miami's got a better roster. Tell me where the losses are in these other games if I've got a player like Sellers who can put the team on his back a little bit.
Well, I was telling you during the break is Lenore Sellers would be a great addition to the Clemson offense. Truth be told, it would definitely depend on how the offensive line performs, and there's some questions about that. So I would take Lenore Sellers. Truth be told, I would definitely take him. He would be a good addition.
You know, one other thing with South Carolina here, text from the 864 says, and this is my number one, probably my most positive bit of commentary about South Carolina's offense. Is that Briles' scheme will make the line look better. I do not love Kendall Briles. I said that from the beginning. Did not love the hire. I think it's a much better hire than Shula. So comparatively, much better hire, and I think he's the best offensive coordinator that Beamer has brought in. Like, I was not in love with Loggett. Like, I've not loved any of these guys. And I thought that the Shula thing would be a disaster, and it was. It was a disaster. Briles, though, is... that system is designed to be to play horizontal. And so what you're going to do is you're going to spread out, you're going to make defenses either you're going to make the box light, or you're going to have one-on-ones down the field with Nick Harbor. You're going to have Harbor just winning sprints if they try to keep extra bodies in the box. That's what the Bryles system does. I'm intrigued to see what that means for Sellers. Like I said, I could see a lot of sort of triple option RPO stuff where he either gives it, slings it to the slot, or keeps it, and you're putting nickels and edge defenders in jail if they do it right. Now, if you can't run the ball at all, which the best running back is Sellers on the team right now. I think they're running back. I don't love their running backs. The best running back is Sellers. In my opinion, if you've got Sellers running the ball, if he's your best running back, then you've got to run him one of the first two downs pretty much all the time. Because getting yourself in third and eight or more is a disaster. Because the offensive line, there's only so much an offensive coordinator can do for a bad offensive line if you're constantly in third and nine. The coordinator's job is to get himself out of third and nine with your scheming and the execution, what you're asking your players to do on first and second down, in my opinion. That's going to be the challenge for Kendall Bryles. Clemson Brad asks this question, which offensive line do you think plays better this year, Clemson or South Carolina? I think Clemson's offensive line. Still, that South Carolina offense, Clemson's O-line was not great last year, but it was light years. South Carolina's O-line was a disaster. It was like blocking dummies half the time. They had 48 sacks last year, whatever it was that they gave up. Like that's impossible to give up that many sacks.
That's pretty atrocious.
Impossible.
But how many of those sacks would you put on Lenora Sellers, though?
Well, you've asked an impossible question here, Keanu.
Because when you have a scramb-
I think that's the hard part.
When you have a scrambling quarterback, they kind of put themselves in situations where they don't necessarily have to be. He might leave the pocket a little bit too early. He might decide to run it instead of actually throw it. He doesn't think he has a good enough arm to make a specific play. So my question would be, how much of those sacks do you put on Lenora Sellers? Because the offensive line could be atrocious. But we could also make the statement that Lenora Sellers also put himself in those predicaments.
You got it. I believed in you.
Okay.
No, you're right about that. Texter makes a good point. They got T.J. Parker drafted where he did. And T.J. Parker didn't sack anybody except South Carolina. Now, again, some of the sacks are on Sellers. Some of it's on Sellers for holding the ball. But, again, if I know I've got a quarterback, this is my problem with the Shula system last year. If I know I've got a quarterback with some running ability, some athleticism, my O-line is Swiss cheese, and my quarterback holds the ball too long and my receivers can't catch, then I've got to move my quarterback way more than they did. There were too many times where they're asking Sellers to, like, fake a handoff and fake a jet and, like, drop back like he's going to throw it 50 yards. We're doing seven-step drop stuff. He's already dead by that point. He's got no chance. Bryles system is not going to do that. Bryles system is the reads are going to be simpler. The route tree is going to be simpler for him to read, I think. You're going to dumb things down for him, although I don't think he's a poor processor. I just think when you're dealing with a receiver group that's probably not great, you're going to need to make some choices based on the scheme, based on the play.
So what are you projecting for South Carolina's offense this upcoming year?
I think they're going to be better than they were.
Well, that would be helpful. But are you saying that they'll be more explosive, or what are you saying?
Okay. I think they're going to be more explosive. I think you're going to see maybe not the first round pick step from Harbor, but I think you see a little bit of a step from Harbor. I think the threat of Sellers in the run game more of a consistent threat, and a run game that's probably going to create a little more space in the box, like between the tackles, by making teams spread out, by making defenses spread out. I think that'll be good for their traditional run game also.
But you also said that Sellers is their number one running back. So
I agree with that.
But my question would be,
Why agree with me on that, yes.
Why would you want your quarterback to run the ball so heavily, though, is my question. Obviously, he's a threat, and we like him to be a threat. But if he's going to be your number one running back, I mean, I don't like that too much.
I don't have a great answer for you on that one, because I think they almost have to run Sellers into the ground.
They have to.
Yeah. I think 1,000%. They do. Okay. I think they have to. But they scored 23 points a game last year. 22.7 points a game. They can get to 24, 25, 26 points a game. And if you can hold teams down the way they did last year defensively, should be in pretty good shape. You know, Hank makes a good point. Sellers might not have caused many sacks, but he did turn a bunch of 6-yard sacks into 15-yard sacks. That is his biggest weakness.
Definitely
right
don't
here.
Run backwards. That is atrocious.
Trying to escape.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, you're trying to navigate a labyrinth. You're never getting out, buddy. Never getting out. A texter says this. This is so nice. Best show Keanu's done so far. Good job, young man.
Well, Keanu's only been on two shows so far. So, I mean, that's a start, baby.
You've been on with Mickey some.
Well, yeah, that's also true. I'm talking about by myself,
just
running the producer.
Running the board.
Yeah, running the show behind the show, you know.
You feel good? Can we give you another rep tomorrow?
You know, I think that'll be great.
All right, very good. I love that. So we will. You know what? Let's do it. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it again. We'll run it back. We have lots more to get to tomorrow. Got a bunch of college football stuff we didn't get to because y'all want to talk about Jaden Daniels, which is fine.
I would like to make a note that the texter actually sent us a picture of what Jaden Daniels said. I think that might be Instagram. So,
Yep.
That'd be interesting to talk about.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Walt is up next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHD-AM 1560, Cowpens 97.5.